This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Home on Joy 94.9, Monday nights at 8 p.m.
Expect some 10 out of 10 hilarious banter about a wide range of topics, from politics to the latest in pop culture, arts and activism.
We have lively and informative chats with our regular and special guests. The tunes are hand-selected and the laughs flow free.
So come on, listen to us, the Dykes on Mics, on Mondays at 8 p.m. on Joy.
You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. And before those messages, that was ABC with Look of Love.
I love that. They had a few songs, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It's that one big album, wasn't it? The Lexicon of Love, and that was about it. But there's I think this one, Poison Arrow and Look of Love, were the two sort of
Poison
big
Arrow,
hits.
Great, yeah. I know. And their videos were always fun and very different to all the other, you know, like new romantic bands out of England. But the English always, you know, like just was one step ahead, weren't they, with that great pop music.
I think so. I have to agree with you on that one, David. So
we agree on that front,
the two of us. So now we have in the studio our next guest with us. We have sculptor Angela McDougall, who is here to talk about, well, a little bit about herself, plus the works, and also the big sculpture winners, which obviously was something that was on at the in St Kilda at the community
the veg
garden.
Out.
The veg out. That's I was trying to get the name of that veg out. Now, welcome to the show, Angela.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, Angela, before we start talking about, I suppose the actual veg out exhibition, everything else, a little bit about your background. Now, how did you get started as a sculptor, and how did sculpting take your interest, basically?
Well, I've always, like from a child, been interested in sculpture and three-dimensional work, and then I ended up doing a Bachelor of Arts at RMIT, and that was great at setting me up for studio practice, and you got all the experience with all the materials and techniques.
Yeah, but why though, Angela? Why did you? What was it about sculpture? You know, because it's such a very different. You know, and what you do is not easy stuff. It's quite big or complicated. Mm-hmm. Where was that thought pattern when you were a kid growing up that you thought, I like it?
Well, I liked the physicality of it. I've always liked making things with my hands and you know, like getting the hard work done. It sort of started with that, just finding materials and making things out of those. And then, sort of as a child. And then when I realised I could go to uni and study it, I thought, great. And, kept it going from there.
Right, okay. You're sort of mid-career, aren't you, with it? And that was the prize you won at a big sculpture, was this mid-career, your piece, and we'll get to that a little bit later. So, you've had a little bit of, hiccup and what happened along the way, as in, family?
I don't want to say it's sort of a hiccup, but it did slow me down a bit. Yep. And you hear of, say, doctors that have five kids and have this amazing career. But I suppose I just slowed down. I've always kept a studio and kept working, but I sort of haven't exhibited that much while I was having kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm sort of getting back into that.
Back into it. And coming back with a vengeance as well. But you're part of, you work out of a studio. What's it called?
Caravan Sculptors, or was Caravan Studio Sculptors, but we've changed it to Caravan Studio so we can become a bit more inclusive to other mediums.
Yep. And it's over in Richmond, is that right?
Yeah, so we've just moved from Richmond to Burnley.
Right.
And so, yes, we seem to be in temporary places as they keep getting knocked down and developed, and we've got to move on.
Yeah.
But hopefully we always seem to manage to find somewhere else.
And, that is a problem for a sculptor, isn't it?
Because
you need space, don't you?
And it's always been, I've managed Caravan for quite a few years, and it's always been a priority of mine to find reasonably priced studio space for artists, because they're hard to come by.
Yeah.
Some
yeah,
of them well, are money-making, or a lot of them are money-making ventures, whereas we're a co-op, so...
Yeah, and the as you said, you know, like, you have to move on because developers, you know, like, especially Richmond, Burnley, which is around the same part of the world, you know, like, everyone wants to develop, build high-rise apartments and stuff, don't they?
Yes, yeah, they sure
which
do.
Which is a curse for you.
Yes, yeah. It is. I mean, it's good in a way in that we can make as much mess and, you know, like we don't have to be too precious about the environment we're in.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And the good thing, you've told me before that, you know, like the owners of the buildings that you, or usually warehouses and stuff, they've been sympathetic for you and you know, like understand what you're doing, which is lovely, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yeah. No, it really is because... They're not easy to come by either. So we've been very lucky with our landlords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and just by on a side little a thought here is, you know, like if there's any sculptors out there that are looking to become part of something like you're involved in, are you, you know, like is there room for other sculptors to come in?
Well, not at the moment. We're full at the moment and we're actually not going to be where we are now for too much longer. We've only probably got about another 4 months. So things might change after that, but at present we're full. But yeah.
And how do you feel about that, Angela? You know, like all of a sudden getting kicked out of another building.
Yeah, it's a bit unsettling, but yeah, I'm getting used to it now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I haven't unpacked all the boxes from the last move.
Right,
which
okay.
Which makes it a bit easier.
Now, all of a sudden you were part of the big sculpture. Which was at Veg Art, as Neil said, down here in St Kilda. How did that come about and you know, like, what does it mean to you?
Well, it's great having an exhibition like that in the city. Usually when you enter these competitions for big works, you're going to a winery at least an hour out of town, whereas having this in a city, it's very accessible and it makes it a bit easier on the artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good opportunity to... show big work, which isn't always possible.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's been really good. And just, you know, I suppose as an artist or anybody, it's good having a deadline to work towards and get the work finished and out there.
And how did they get onto you or did you approach them? What was the...
I approached them. They had a...
A call out,
did
they?
Yeah, they did, yeah. So I put in an application and was fortunately successful in that.
And Angela, sorry, and are big sculptures what you are drawn towards? Is that your sort of your area that you want to work in?
Not really, is it?
No.
No. That's curious.
I know too much about it because I've done an art hunter on it.
Well, I suppose so what attracted you to the big
sculpture? Well, I have done a lot of big
sculpture. Oh, you have
sculpture.
Done big ones as
well,
too.
So I've been in Sculpture by the Sea before and a few at Montalto and other exhibitions for big sculpture. So I do like doing big work, larger work, but I also like doing smaller work as well.
Okay.
They take a lot of time. They, you know, cost a lot of money often to produce. And
yeah,
so
well, that's
it's good doing smaller work as
well. Yeah, well, that's the problem, isn't it, as well, for an artist, is the cost of doing a big piece.
Yes,
unless you get a commission, of course.
Yes.
You know, like that's the difference.
Yes,
Because a lot of your, you know, like smaller pieces you know, like there's one in particular, Neil, which is gorgeous. It's a figure, you know, like with one leg up and a child hanging off of it and a bunch of flowers in the other hand, you know, like sort of, you know, like juggling many, many things at once, which it is clever. You know, like where did that concept come from?
A lot of my work's personal, so that obviously is with having children and then just the... giving a lot for that and so it was just a personal experience and then there's a symbolism of the flowers and so a lot of my work has had symbolism in it and I've also used a lot of flowers and seeds
too. You do, don't you? Yeah. Why?
I like the simplicity of them and the sort of just the representation of nature and particularly now with so many environmental catastrophes, which are just so big and like really sort of hard to even contemplate solving them. And it just, the bringing it right back to the basics and the simplicity of and I suppose the grape seeds, the which is titled Potential. It's sort of capturing a moment in time as well.
Yeah.
So with each, whether it's a flower or seeds or fruit, it's capturing a moment in time as well.
Yeah. So for those that aren't aware, the grape seeds was what you had in the big sculpture exhibition. And they were big, you know, like yes. Four and beautifully placed. You must have been really happy where they were in the veg out.
Yes, yeah, yeah. No, I'm pleased that they're on the lawn and they're under a tree. I think it's a peach tree. And, yeah, so they look really good there.
Yeah. I'm pleased. And there's four of them?
Yes, four. And each of them are about 1.3 metres long.
Right, okay.
And they're all sort of positioned together, randomly positioned together.
Yeah, but they're connected though, aren't
yes,
they?
Yeah,
because yeah, they look very random until you look really closely. Why grape seeds?
Well, I came across a grape seed after eating a grape. And
which you don't see them very often.
No, no. Well, particularly now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very hard to come by. So whenever I do come across one, I save them. but looking at it and sort of just studying it, I realised what amazing shape they were and just the sort of sensual nature of them, the simplicity and the perfection of them, really, and they're sort of quite sexual looking with male and female parts, and not that I sort of wanted to exaggerate that too much, but it was just just beautiful things.
Yeah, and it is a very, very beautiful piece, and a very quite rustic in a way too, isn't it?
Mm.
What's it made of?
Cast iron, and so yeah, so the cast iron finish, that sort of rusting. They're not orange. They've sort of got a bit of black and rust in them.
Yeah, and so will they rust
really like
more in time? Is
yes.
that what happens?
Yeah, they will, yeah. Which is nice too, the way they sort of, the surface evolves and changes over time. And which you've really got no control over. The timing that it happens, so it's all part of it as well.
And so what do you hope will happen with a piece like this? You know, like, is there any interest in it after the exhibition?
I'm hoping so, but yeah, I'll have to do the work to make sure that, well, hopefully that happens. There's a sale down the track, but so I'm hoping that they'll find a home in a winery. I think that'd be perfect
because
you go to a winery, you see the vines and the grapes and drink the wine and, you know, I just think it's a nice concept to think about where it all began.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's an interesting side of being an artist as well, and especially a sculptor, where you've got to go and sell yourself, don't you?
Yes,
you know, like, and that can be hard for some people. How do you cope with it?
I don't like it too much. I don't like it too much, but I was with a gallery in the past, and that certainly made life a lot easier. But I think times have changed a lot now, and as an artist, you probably expect to do more of that selling or promoting of yourself and
social
and
media
sales
is the big
things
thing.
Like that.
Yeah.
So, I am willing to do that.
And what's your Instagram page? What is it?
It's Angela McDougall Art.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
Pretty simple, straightforward.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, what does it mean to an artist that you were recognised at this big sculpture?
It means a lot. I mean, one, it means a lot that you selected, because often artists, you know,
get in the door.
You have to face a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
So step one, being accepted, is very nice.
Oh, yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and what does it mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it just means that your work's out there being seen, which is the ultimate, really.
And being recognised that you actually were one of the prize winners. That must be, because how many were there?
22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was only four prizes, wasn't there? And
yes.
You were one of them.
Yes. Yeah. No, I was thrilled. Yeah. And, great to have this opportunity and be on the Art Hunter as well. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it means a lot.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. Well, you know, like, it's one of those journeys that's such a hard, slog. But you would be aware of that now, wouldn't you? You know, like, you've just got to keep on keeping on, don't you?
But it's very rewarding too. You know, I love being in the studio. it's my own space, and you know, it's about the only place that is my own space. So it's I just love being there. I love the creative process. And I mean, I'm probably a bit old fashioned. I love the making and the physical making of the work. Yeah, so it is very rewarding.
Yeah, and with a sculptor as well, it goes through many processes as well, doesn't it? You know, like with a painting, you just get in front of a canvas and off you go. But yes, there are so many different processes you've got to go through as a sculptor.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, particularly if you're casting. That's a long process of, you know, I suppose making it in clay first and then making a mould and then potentially putting, you know, wax in that mould and having it cast at a foundry possibly.
Yeah.
But also I like working with found materials too, as breaking up that long process.
Oh, what do you mean by found materials?
Well, I've done a lot of work in the past with reclaimed corrugated iron. And wood, like for example, that piece you were talking about before with the figure with the child hanging off the leg and the flowers, that's on an old recycled table leg.
Right.
So just finding things that generate ideas and, using those.
And that would be a joy in a way, wouldn't it? Yellow, going into a yard and looking through bits of wood and stuff like that and go, oh, I could see something happening there. Or do you have rejections where you might pick up something and then go, nah, that's not going to work?
Yes, yeah, but I hang on to them for a few years and eventually they have a place.
Or chop it in halves or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But just from the things that you said, Angela, I suppose the thing that I'm thinking about is also, maybe it's the wrong word, but artists, I suppose, have to have a different sort of concept sometimes of what success might be. And like I said, maybe success is the wrong word, but you know how you get fulfilled by what you do, because you were saying about how you enjoy the process and everything else. Is that something that you sort of, you know, is that what you work towards? You know, is that why you keep working, I suppose, you know, the joy that you get from it and not necessarily the selling of things or whatever else? Is that, how do you measure success, so to speak, you know, as a sculptor?
Being mid-career, I think it does have a different meaning in that I am more settled in my own work. And like I think when I was younger, probably the exhibiting and the selling, or I mean, it's always nice to sell, but that whole, I suppose the exhibiting and having solo exhibitions and things was probably the drive. Whereas now, I probably am more content to sit in the studio and be like, making work, but not sort of driven by that sort of having sort of solo exhibitions.
And will there be a solo exhibition down the track? I know you said you didn't want to talk too much about the future, but are you maybe thinking that you would?
Yes, I will down the track, but I don't want to be sort of scared off by having everything done in the next year.
because of the long process. Well, how long do the grape seeds take to make?
They took about at least sort of eight to 10 months.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it took a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long process.
Yes. And now, you know, I value the time to sort of generate the ideas, do the research, and get that part of it organised before the actual making.
To find the grape seed, you know, like you didn't choke on, you spat it out, and there you go, off you go from there. Congratulations on already a wonderful career, and looking back at your work, it's excellent, and these grape seeds is a beautiful piece. People, if you're a winery or you've got an amazing big garden and you want a piece out there, Angela's she's got it sitting there waiting for somebody to snap up. So what's your Instagram again, so people can go Angela, and check it?
Angela MacDougall Art.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You'll see a picture of them there.
Yes. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks,
and congratulations.
David.
And the Art Hunter will be out soon, and everyone will. Well, I'll be spreading the word once that's available.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Angela MacDougall here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.